Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Jim on the Air. I almost said the name of my old show that I had. Jim on the Air, that's what this is called, Jim on the Air. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's lovely to have you either watching or listening, depending on where you are in the world and if you are watching online or listening online. Thank you for joining us, and I'm very excited to... I'm just going to jump right into it. I'm very excited to have our guest for this week. He is Brandon Whited. He is one of the assistant professors at UCSB in the dance department there. And he's also the artistic director for the Reemerge Dance Festival, which is coming up at Center Stage Theater. And it's happening June 17th through the 20th. And for 4 days, and we're very excited to have a hybrid, actually, of live performances and performances that are on video, also streaming as well. And it's very exciting after over a year of everyone being in isolation and quarantine and kind of having to do everything on Zoom, theater, dance, music, and meetings all online. And it'll be great to kind of get back to how things used to be. A little different, of course. As I mentioned, it'll be a hybrid. It'll be both live and in person. It'll be the 17th through the 20th of June. And I, at this point, would just like to welcome to the show Brandon Whited. Brandon, welcome to the show, and it's good to have you on again. We had you on about a year ago.
Yes, thank you, Jim. Thanks for speaking with me today about in general, but also about the festival.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, the last time we spoke, well, maybe not the last time we spoke, but when I had
in
you
this
on the
way.
Show, what's that?
The last time we spoke in this way.
In this, yeah, exactly, in this format. Yeah. When I had you on the show before, it was kind of at the beginning of the pandemic. Nobody really knew where we were going or what was going to happen. That was, I think it was April of 2020. What has the last year, almost year and a half, been for you since the last time we were on and this time? What did you not expect? What did you expect? What was surprising to you? How was the year for you?
Wow, yeah, it's been quite a year for all of us, I think. I think the biggest thing was just the kind of rolling nature of information, right? We kept having, okay, well, if this, you know, it happens in 3 months, then we can, you know, so kind of the evolutionary kind of planning that had to happen, which is pretty contrary to a lot of art making and dance making, specifically dance making practices, where you kind of need to know what you're making for, you know? So I think that's what position a lot of artists found themselves in, is kind of just following a thread, trying to make something, and then seeing where the opportunities to share that might be. Personally, for me, it's been even more of a challenge within the university system, because our regulations are so so strict, and trying to make, you know, sure that everyone's safe, students, staff, faculty, and being a public school, that we really adhere to as closely as possible to all the state, you know, rules and regulations, and sometimes even holding those longer than the state, them, you know, as an entity had kind of, when they would move on, we would kind of reassess. So it's been pretty limiting for me personally in terms of my own research. But kind of turning to creative endeavors like this and being invited to be the artistic director and the curator was a nice way to kind of morph that creative process into a different outlet. But yeah, I think generally it's been really, you know, a period of adaptability and resourcefulness, and kind of maybe giving us all the reminder to kind of step back, take a pause, like calm our pace a little bit. So I think that's been pretty enlightening for me personally, and for the people that I've spoken with as well, in terms of their own kind of arc within this year of craziness that we've been dealing with. Obviously a big period of loss for a lot of people as well. But yeah, it's really heartening to see kind of the performing arts world coming back, and, you know, whether actually physically coming back or have, you know, announcing plans and seasons and things coming up, I think there's just a lot more hope and opportunity in the air.
Nice, nice. And yeah, I have to agree with you. I think, you know, you're saying about, you know, taking a pause and kind of, you know, giving us ourselves a chance to kind of go, okay, whoa, what's going on here with, you know, with our lives. And, you know, I think a lot of people would agree with that. Tell us a little bit about your background. What got you here to UCSB? I understand you used to tour before.
Yeah, so I actually grew up on the East Coast. I was born in New York State. We call it upstate, you know, even an hour away from the city, as we call it, New York City, was upstate. And so I was born in Poughkeepsie, New York. When I was 10, we moved to North Carolina, my family. And that's kind of where I began dancing and grew up mostly, you know, my conscious childhood. Formative years, I went to undergraduate school at University of North Carolina School of the Arts there. And then right after graduating with my BFA, I moved to New York City, back home in a sense. And I freelanced for a few years with multiple dance companies, working in restaurants, doing that thing as well as many artists have done in their lives. And then in my third year, I got a contract to apprentice and then full contract with a company called Shenwei Dance Arts. And we had really the great good fortune of touring internationally. Primarily, we performed quite a bit in the States, but a lot more internationally. We actually came to the Granada Theater in 2012 via Arts and Lectures, UCSB Arts and Lectures. So that was an interesting, like, kind of precursor, or like, you know, foreshadowing of my life here. But yeah, after dance career, I went to grad school at The Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio. And then with graduating my MFA, I found myself here with a job at UC Santa Barbara.
And how long have you been at UC Santa Barbara?
This is, this is the end of my fifth year, so.
Oh, okay. Nice. Very cool.
Half a decade.
Already, yeah.
Time flies, but also crawls by at the same time somehow.
I know this last year kind of crawled, but yeah, usually it does kind of whiz on by. Before you know it, it's been 10 years. So tell us about the dance festival. It's called Reemerge Dance Festival. How did it begin?
Yeah, so the festival was initially, imagined by Terry Ball, the director of Center Stage Theater, and Vicky Scott, representing, kind of co-producing through New and Reimagined Works initiative. And they approached me with this idea for a dance festival when there was some first news of kind of things opening back up and theaters maybe, you know, possibly being allowed to have audiences again. So we were trying to think of how best to approach balancing live audience, live performance, and also incorporating a lot of the digital work that people have been kind of, you know, relegated to make this year. And for a lot of people, that became a new creative outlet to try on because of circumstance, right? But yielding like really interesting work from a lot of people that might not have worked in that medium. So they approached me and asked if I would be willing to curate and work as a curator / artistic director function, and help also like kind of plan how to frame submissions and how to think about the program more broadly. So that's kind of how it came about, just as a really like a welcome back in terms of the dance presence at Center Stage Theater. And in the community, more broadly
in the entire community. And then and the dance festival will be the 17th through the 20th of June. By the way, before I forget, I just want to put out the 411. If you'd like to get tickets or to learn more about the festival, you can log on to the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org, and all the information about the dance festival, how to get tickets, the box office number, all that is on the website, centerstagetheater.org. And again, it's going to be June 17th through the 20th. And as I've mentioned before, I don't know if I've mentioned it just now, but this is a hybrid of performances, because some performances will be video streaming. Tell us a little bit about that element of the festival.
Yeah, so we actually kind of framed the submission process with as many options as possible. So we basically told people, don't self-select out, submit if you have an idea or you've been think you want to be involved. All genres of dance welcome, kind of different size groups, different frameworks. And then we presented it as, you know, you could submit for a live performance component if you had the interest and the ability to, and were maybe more local, or you could submit with a kind of digital video model. Terry also just, you know, has this great spirit of supporting the community and supporting artists and just kind of helping create platforms. And so there's actually a kind of middle ground where some people that maybe don't feel as comfortable performing live, or their group is pretty large or something, and that would cause a lot of, like, you know, cross traffic with other groups. They also had a kind of intermediary option to, if accepted, come into the space for a period of rehearsals and actually use the resources in the theater, the cameras and the staff there to actually film in the theater, which then could be shared as a video component. So if they didn't have the means to make their own dance film, then we can kind of create an intermediate option for them. So it's a lot of case-by-case consideration, but it's going to be a nice mix. And the mix also allowed for us to balance the number of, you know, live bodies in the space, considering the performers, of course, and yeah, and able to move groups in and out with the video performances in between the live groups.
In between. So then while you're setting up for the next group, the videos would be playing from, like, maybe the previous or the next group to kind of give an idea of what they're all about.
Or that, like, a dance film would go in between two live performances, something
right.
like that.
Okay, so completely different.
So it's not necessarily about not necessarily the same group, but kind right. of just as you would a mixed program, you'd move from one piece to the next. But sometimes we'll go between mediums, and that there's a creative aspect of that, but there's also a logistical aspect that I think we were trying to be strategic about. You know, even as things are opening up and feeling more safe, there's still, people feel very differently and are different levels of comfort. And so we're trying to create a space that feels very safe and possible to kind of step back into our usual way of doing things, but not all at once. Yeah.
Right.
And we're also, I kind of put out the idea to curate one program, which is only dance films and not necessarily the, like, live performance recordings, but pieces that were really crafted for the medium of film.
They originally were specific filmed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's how they were submitted as, you know, full entities, or that they were being in process and being completed that way. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of, like, I'm unofficially calling it landscapes, because a lot of them, you know, have utilized the outdoor spaces and different places. Since we don't have, as most people haven't had access to studios and theaters to present work. So yeah, that'll be a nice program. And that'll also be one that I think will be really solidly shared on demand. So you could stream it on the website, or you could come to the theater. I believe we're gonna do that opening night on the Thursday, and you could come to the theater and it's basically a dance film screening. So there won't be any live performers. So that's yet another level of, like, if an audience wants to be out in the town and doing something, but not necessarily comfortable with live performers, right, that would be another layer of possibility for them.
Okay, yeah. Awesome. About
and
how
just
many...
celebrating film, yeah.
Right, so. Right. That's about how many submissions did you get all together? Do you know?
I believe we got, some groups sent in multiple, or some artists or makers or companies sent in a couple multiple options. So I think all in all, probably just a little over 40, maybe 45-ish submissions.
Well, that's pretty good, yeah, considering, you know, how quickly everything was turned around.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround because, you know, part of it was trying to figure out what was possible relative to the time that we were going to do it. And just, yeah, we're normally, you know, these kind of festivals would take like a year or plus in the making of, like, having a 6-month submission period, having a, you know, multiple month review period. So it was a lot more rapid, just really in the spirit of kind of getting people on their feet again, or just creating a place that they could share their work, even if it was a video format. Right. But yeah, there was a nice range of submissions, lots of like ages reflected. We also kind of included a student category so they wouldn't feel excluded or feel like they, you know, we're professional enough, right? That right. There's a lot of like really great works coming out of some of the student category nice. That had maybe you know, less representation, but there are a few nice examples of that group.
And so,
and then also like a short and long format.
Short and long. Okay, so altogether, how many different programs and what are the different programs altogether?
Yeah, so we settled on four different programs for the four different nights. There's some overlap in some of the work. So actually a few of them will be performed live in one show and then a film version in another show. And then a couple others, like the live piece might be on two different programs where they fit thematically and curatorially into the kind of flow of that. And so the first night we will have the film only, the film screenings, celebrating dance film. Another night, I think program two, we've been moving it around, so I'm trying to remember. Program two, I think, is really more centered on contemporary dance perspectives. So both, that's a hybrid program with live and film-based performances as well, but really focusing on the medium of professional contemporary dance. We have another program that is kind of a mixed repertory program, which includes a lot of varied genres. We have everything from Indian classical dance, some belly dance, tap, modern dance, ballroom dance, all kinds of styles mixed in. So that'll be a nice eclectic program for someone who maybe
wants a little bit of everything.
Maybe doesn't know as much about dance, and yeah, yeah, it's like going to an awesome buffet, right?
I was just going to say a buffet. A buffet of dance. That's great.
Smorgasbord, yeah, instead mm-hmm. of just one plate. So that'll be a nice kind of eclectic mixed program, lots of representation from our kind of local community as well, and California specifically, for more people that are a little bit farther away, either submitting films or coming. We have an aerial dance offering that we're going to be helping them do a film version of, because the complexity of kind of putting aerial dance into a mixed program is pretty challenging in terms of time. For changeover. So that artist was really open to filming, and we're going to be able to get like some really cool perspectives to feature her work really well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then the last program, due to the submissions, we actually had quite a bit of, and you know, the proximity in the local community, we had quite a bit of submissions from current like UCSB dance people, like through specifically the student company, our student repertory company, who will all be like brand new alums because they'll just graduated. So there'll be a nice kind of spirit of like entering the, you know, the dance world in that way. And quite a few alumni submissions, either through video or through live performance submissions. So we're doing kind of a Gaucho alum night.
Oh, nice.
That will also be a mixed hybrid program of live and film.
Nice.
Yeah, so four very different shows, but like, you know, that also gives people a way in if they have a kind of specific interest and they wanted to choose one of the programs. But we certainly, of course, welcome and encourage anyone to come see multiple programs as well.
Right. Now, it seems to me that putting the festival together is kind of an organic kind of process. Tell us about your process of how you came up with the four programs, and how did that all come together?
Yeah, so you're spot on. It's definitely organic and kind of it's almost like a responsive process where you really have to, you know, the crafting of this, the call, right? The crafting of the invitation to submit is really like, how do we catch a wide net? How do we frame this in a way that most people will respond and not self-select out or think that they're not, that they wouldn't be included, right? So we wanted to really create opportunities and language that would be broadly inclusive, and I think that worked in the sense that it really was answered with a wide array of submissions. So that was kind of the first step, and then you sit back and you let people kind of do their thing and submit. And of course, you know, as we artists tend to do, there were like a flood of ones at the very last minute, and we extended slightly to allow for more time. But we got some great mix of offerings. And so what happens, I mean, in the past, I've had a lot of experiences specifically at UCSB, but elsewhere, of being a concert director, where you're kind of curating on a smaller scale the arc of a show, the mix of, you know, repertory, how one particular show might flow in terms of energy and range and diversification of like a solo and a group and then a duet, you know, kind of mixing up the scale and scope of the works. And so this has been almost like a just kind of blowing that out and expanding the scale of curatorship. And yeah, so then basically then you look at the submissions and you kind of see where are the threads, where are the potential like links and themes, and then like what, as you start to build groupings that might become programs, is there that range and variability within each of them, and then also a range between the four different programs. So yeah, so that kind of, it's definitely, you can't, you know, you could plan ahead and say these are the programs we're going to make and submit to the one you think you want, you know, that you align with, but there's something a little more creative about letting the submissions come in and then crafting and shaping and sculpting it around what they are and what they represent.
Now, were there any genres or dance traditions that you didn't get that you wish you had in the program?
We didn't get any ballet submissions. That was one that I was a little surprised actually, but I think I don't know what it is. I mean, there's definitely, I think when people go to dance film, they tend to like gravitate more towards a kind of contemporary movement. But I have seen some really strong, you know, dance films made in this time in the ballet genre. But I don't know, perhaps it's just a little less common of that practice. But that was a little surprising, and I would have loved to have it been able to include ballet. We also didn't get any like designated like jazz or hip hop offerings, which I was also surprised about, because that, you know, that's a really popular genre for a lot of people in different levels, from, you know, student to professional. But yeah, so that's kind of, I mean, of course it's okay, we have some great representation, but yeah. Those were some genres that I kind of expected that might show up in the pool.
Oh yeah, that's interesting that you didn't get too many of those. But then maybe, as you had mentioned before, you know, usually you go like a 6-month period of people submitting. Maybe if there had been more time for people to find out about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was the kind of trade-off that we were thinking, is like, what's the, you know, cost benefit, or the, you know, the benefit of like getting it going really fast, just to like, you know, as soon as we're able to kind of activate, and then, you know, it's something we could always recreate again and have more time and perhaps flesh it out differently. Mm-hmm. And then we'd have, you know, kind of on demand or recorded examples of what the kind of scope of it was. Yeah.
Right. And you touched on it a little bit earlier, but what are the various dance styles that you have for this year's festival?
Yeah, we have, we do have a lot of contemporary dance. We have, in our mixed program is probably our most eclectic. So we had, like, as I mentioned, we have an aerial dance offering. We also have ballroom dance, an amazing couple that has two different pieces that they're gonna be performing live. So there's professional ballroom, there is tap, a group of tappers. There's a couple different offerings of Indian classical dance, both at the student range and the professional film range. We're also, I believe, belly dance is also represented. It'll be a nice eclectic range through a lot of the programs. And then even within the contemporary idiom, there's so much range in terms of like style and aesthetic, you know, and approach, even with, because contemporary is kind of a large umbrella of modalities in and of itself.
Nice. Oh, well, it's a very eclectic program, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of interesting variations of dance that people will be able to, as you mentioned before, the buffet, the smorgasbord.
And even within like the dance film, there's very different aesthetic points of view, and I think that's, you know, some are more, you know, surreal, some are more realistic, some are, you know, more documentary approach. And so I think it's a good way to see like it's not a monolithic thing, right? This medium that we have in this art form. And so even like within one program that is grouped thematically, there's still so much range. So yeah, I think it's gonna be great. I know a lot of the artists are really excited, you know, either just to show their work from afar, you know, via dance film, or to be able to get on their feet again.
Be in space,
yeah. Three-dimensional. Nice.
And again, we're talking about the dance festival, the Re-Emerge Dance Festival, which will be performed at Center Stage Theater June 17th through the 20th. And there's four different programs. And actually, you should probably go to all four nights because it'll be a little bit different each night.
Yeah, absolutely. There's some overlap, but they will all have a different kind of impact. Absolutely.
Nice. And again, June 17th through the 20th. And to learn more, for reservations or just for information, you can go to the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. Again, that's centerstagetheater.org. And you can also click on, once you're on the website, there's a blog tab, and that'll take you to their blog, and there's more information about everything that's going on at the theater, especially including the dance festival. You can find out more there as well. But at centerstagetheater.org, check it out. And the thing for tickets is, you know, you just push the little button and you can do tickets there. And again, centerstagetheater.org. And the festival is the 17th through the 20th of June. And Brendan, do we know, I'm not sure, will they have it extend past the 20th, like some of the video submissions?
So yeah, we're still ironing out some of those ideas, and we have to figure out what's possible. But the four live shows will be just then, and the dance film program specifically, I believe, will be offering on demand as a streaming. So if you're not here in Santa Barbara or you're not able to come, that might be a nice option. We're also trying to figure out logistics for the hybrid programs to maybe, you know, record the live performances and then intersperse the projected films in their full quality in a more on-demand streaming option. So those details aren't finalized yet, but keep an eye out for that. There will definitely be the dance film option at the very least, and that should be offered for a little bit after the festival.
After the festival too, as well. But it is advisable for everyone to go during and to watch it either online or live on the 17th through the 20th of June, because there's nothing like seeing it live. And of course, all COVID... And all COVID protocols, safety protocols will be in place. And there's a whole explanation on the website about attending, because as I understand it, I think at this point, there's still only 45 people allowed in the theater. Is that?
I'm not 100% sure about that, but yeah, I know Terry's been really on top of it and created really safe and comfortable way of being in the theater. We'll also have, even when the program maybe is on the a little bit shorter side and we wouldn't normally include an intermission, we're probably going to include an intermission so people can get up and walk outside, get some fresh air, and, you know.
Right.
Yeah, so there'll be but there's an air exchange like multiple times an hour. It's really safe and comfortable in there.
Exactly.
As well.
And
that's the spirit, is we're trying to get back to each other. You know, that's really what it's all about.
And all the safety protocols are in place there, and it'll be. And the other thing, the other side of that is it could change between now and the 17th, depending on what the state or the county want to do, the public health departments.
There's that June 15th is kind of a looming marker for, you know, we don't know what's going to happen, or is everything lifted, everything, you know, is the veil unlifted, or just, you know, creeping further towards. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, definitely come out to whatever your level of comfort. Like I said, there's going to be that audience only live experience where you could come see dance films, or you can come see live performers in a mix. But you'll definitely be, you know, safe and comfortable. You know, feel free to wear your mask. You know, for the audience, I believe that's one of the protocols still in place,
wearing
regardless of vaccination status. Yeah, just to make sure we're all, you know,
safe,
doubly protected.
Right, exactly. Brendan, we just have a few minutes left before the end of the show, but I hope you'll amuse me and let me ask you some fun questions, just some random questions, just to kind of get to know you a little bit more. Is that okay? Put you on the spot?
Yeah.
And I kind of do this with all of my shows. I like to ask random questions just to kind of get to know people better. So this first question is, what's the favorite thing you've bought this year? And especially because of this pandemic year, what's the most favorite thing that you've bought? Or that you, another way to put it too, what's the thing that you bought most online that you normally would not have?
Yeah, I would probably say broadly, like everything, because I'm not really an online shopper. I blow off steam by going and walking around Home Goods or World Market or something, like, and just, I'm a visual person, so I need to like put my hands on and see things. So I tend not to like ever want to buy online. So I'd probably say buying clothes online, that's the most, the thing I've bought more than ever before. Because I definitely was out of practice with that. And I'd say one of my favorite things, I actually moved during, I thought it was a great idea to move in October. And so in my new space, as you reconfigure and kind of try to, what remains, what's new, what goes, I actually got a new dining table. That's one of those that like expands out and comes back in. It has a built-in leaf. And so that's been cool for just like, you know, spatial change and being able to contain it or like open up. I actually was able to host Thanksgiving with my my sister and her family, just small pod of our, you know, nice. I live alone, so I was the only outlier, but we had a great time Thanksgiving here.
Oh, nice. And you were able to use your brand new dining room table. Where did you get it?
Online. I don't remember where. I think Overstock or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But I ordered online, you know, as we've had to. Yeah.
I know, and that's me too. I'm just like you. I want to just go to the store. I need to touch the items, even if it's even at the grocery store. I want to pick up the can of soup and look at it.
I know, me too.
Sure.
I know. And I'm like, wait, don't touch things unless you're going to buy it. Like,
right. I know.
Early on. It was so hard. I was like, yeah.
I know.
I guess the other thing would be like takeout. You know, I'm either like cook at home or eat out, but I didn't usually get takeout. So that's been the biggest thing, just trying to support the restaurants, you know, and still feel like you're going out as you drive to go pick up your takeout and bring it home.
Right.
And sit out by the beach or something.
Sit outside or in a park or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know I found myself doing that a lot more too, buying, doing takeout way more than I normally would have in other years.
Yeah.
And just because it's the nature of the beast for the, you know, for the pandemic. So another question for you, what's one bad habit you're trying to get rid of, if you are willing to admit that? Any bad, or maybe you're practically perfect in every way.
Definitely not. That's interesting. Actually, this is just something I've been thinking about a lot. I'm actually teaching a masculinity seminar right now, looking at gender and performance. And I've been consciously trying to stop saying you guys, right? Because it's not really gender inclusive. But growing up in New York, you guys just meant everybody, right? And so that's a bad habit I've been trying to break myself of, as I consider like how you know, our language is so important and to be inclusive, you know, of all spaces.
That's interesting you bring that up, because that for me too, I find myself kind of, you know, if I'm addressing just a group of women and I'll say you guys, and at the back of my head I'm thinking, okay, well, they're not all guys.
But at the same time, do you say
ladies, or what do you say instead? You know, we've it's been so
well
ingrained.
Growing up in the South, we say y'all. Hey, y'all.
Y'all, yeah.
So I say you all, or, you know, or who are they? High dancers, high students, you know, trying to democratize, you know,
right.
just the more neutral language. But yeah, I mean, that's actually something I became really conscious of when I was working in restaurants, because we would come, hi guys, how you doing? And then you could see some people like look at you like, what? You know, but it became this default that they have to break. So I'd be like, hi everyone, you know, just neutral. But yeah, even, you know, just kind of thinking about how our language impacts people in real ways, you know?
Exactly, yeah, absolutely, yeah. It does. And then one more question, and I'll let you off the spot here. If you can instantly become one, what would you want to be an expert in? And other than dance.
Interesting. probably say like astrophysics or like aerospace, you know.
Oh, okay.
I think, yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just the recent influx of like Space Force and all the, right, you know, Mars rover and everything. But I think as a kid I was always interested in and like fascinated by space and exploration and kind of realizing it's kind of the next frontier of exploration.
It really is. So, yeah, well, as you mentioned, the Mars rover and
yeah,
so much is going
and like,
on.
Yeah, and they finally acknowledged that like extraterrestrials are real and UFOs are real, which I knew along, but
I know,
you know, I was like I was a kid with like Area 51 and like alien patches on my backpack as a teenager. So
Really? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really
Area 51. What is that about?
I know. And I was like, you know, I watched like the X-Files religiously.
That was huge.
But yeah, I just, you know, I mean, I'm joking slightly, but I don't know. I just think I'm fascinated by it. And I just don't know how we could possibly think that we're the only beings in the entire universe, how vast it is, you know?
Yeah,
there's something like really a little bit egomaniacal about that, I think.
Yeah.
We're it, you know?
We're it. No one else
I mean,
is
obviously
here. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
sorry,
the only ones.
Just us. Yeah. It's also kind of lonely to think about it that way, you know?
Right. There's got to be other people out there. Yeah.
So an expert in something that would let me be an astronaut, I guess, would be the answer.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, Brendan, we're just about out of time, but one more time, any other information that you want to give out about the festival that we didn't touch on or that we should punch up, all the 411?
Yeah, I mean, I think we covered a lot of it. I would just say, you know, stay plugged in for more information as the details emerge on like, you know, whatever online options there will be. Those things have yet to be fleshed out. And I think just keep an eye on, we'll probably be able to release information about the different artists and trying to find a way to profile them, since really this was about creating a platform for makers and performers. I think that's probably all that I would say more. And, you know, just of course, you know, we're going to have a pretty modest and affordable ticket price, but if you're always, you know, if you're inspired to give more to support Center Stage Theater, you can always donate more at the box office or via other methods to just help, because Center Stage is really doing so much to create platforms for the artists in the community. So
yeah.
If you're up for that and so inspired, please feel free to do that as well.
Excellent. And of course, all this information is available on the Center Stage website, centerstagetheater.org. That's centerstagetheater.org. All the information about reserving tickets and information about the dance festival and also upcoming events at the theater are on the website, centerstagetheater.org. And again, the dance festival, Reemerge Dance Festival, will be June 17th through the 20th. And again, it'll be a hybrid of live and video and streaming and film, and please check it out. It's going to be a wonderful event. Again, June 17th through the 20th, Center Stage Theater, Reemerge Dance Festival. And Brendan, I want to thank you so much for joining me on the show today, and continued success at UCSB and other future endeavors. And thanks again for being here.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
That's my pleasure. And again, to learn more about Center Stage, centerstagetheater.org. Also, if you want to learn more about my show, Jim on the Air, you can check it out on anchor.fm, also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And again, the show is Jim on the Air. And I hope you will check that out as well. Thank you so much for joining us today, and we will catch you next time. Bye-bye, everybody.